Hey, what's going on? This is Strange Talk with Doc. This is your host, Doc. It's been over a week since I did my last show. I want to hope that everything is good with you and good with yours. And I want to send a heartfelt shout out to all the people of Midland and Odessa, Texas, where we had another mass shooting. I don't know all the details of this particular shooting, but five people allegedly are dead as of this point. At least 21 other people have been injured. Another sad blight day on American history, and I wish that some way, somehow, that this can end without actually eliminating ownership of guns in America. I don't know if this thing started out as just a simple traffic stop and it went haywire, or this guy had plans. But he was definitely willing to kill innocents. A 17-month-old baby died. This is definitely time for this guy, 45, to step up and come up with some kind of game plan. That is why he's in the position that he's in, to solve issues, not talk shit, not backbite, not send Twitter bullshit posts, call people ugly, and stupid things like that, but to take care of situations where too many citizens, visitors, immigrants of this country are being murdered in the street less than dogs by angry white men. This shit has got to stop. I understand you say, why isn't he mentioning some young black guy in Alabama shot up a football game? Yes, well, I'm mentioning it. That's senseless also. I don't know if that was gang-related, retaliation. It does not make any difference to me. Color does not matter in this instance. It's the loss of innocent life. People who have no chance to fight back, being picked off like deers, like cowards are sitting up in deer boxes with camouflage on, basically, and they're picking off instead of prey. The prey is human beings. And it saddens and sickens me. And I hate talking about this over and over, but you can't ignore situations like this and be a real live human being. There is no way, shape, form, or fashion that you can ignore this. Do I have the answers? No, it's above my pay grade to have these answers. But I want to hear some solutions. I don't want to just hear back and forth bullshit. It's time. These people are running for president of the United States and nobody has any form of game plan. None of them are coming out with anything that's rational, that makes sense, that they could give to the American people and say, we can get behind this. This is what we could do without actually trying to kill the amendment of people bearing arms in this country. Now, if you're in the path of Hurricane Dorian, my best wishes go to you. My best wishes go to Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. It more than likely is going to hit the coast of North Carolina, Wilmington, or something like that, or maybe Wednesday night, Thursday. But because hurricanes also swing 200 miles each way or something like that, I'm no fucking meteorologist. So don't take my word as gospel. I'm just speaking. More than likely, Raleigh, North Carolina is also going to get some torrential downpours. We're going to probably get some shitty winds. I'm hoping not. I would like to keep my lights. I would like to keep my electricity. I would like the stores to not go into panic mode where I can't even get anything. I have a lot to take care of this week. I have some appointments that I must go to, and I'm hoping that this storm doesn't interfere with them. And I know that sounds petty, but I'm hoping for the least amount of loss of life. And I don't want to forget the Bahamas. This thing is hovering over the Bahamas. I don't want that island obliterated. I don't want that island destroyed beyond compare. A lot of people depend on that place for fun, enjoyment, moments in their lives. And I'm hoping that Mother Nature works with us human beings for a change, that it just doesn't devastate us once again. Yesterday, I watched the UFC from China. It was a pretty good card. Was it a great card? No, it was a pretty good card. I was in total shock. when Andrade got taken out so fast in the first round. But I'm going to say Weili Yung, or Chang, is a hell of a fighter. She brought the funk. And for that to only be a minute and 14 seconds or a minute and 40 seconds, that was an exciting bout. Nonstop. These women didn't wait to fill each other out. They went and they were throwing bombs from the get-go. And you could tell that somebody was not going to make it through. I'm just shocked that when Andrade got her hands on her, she wasn't able to grasp her, pick her up like we normally see her do, and slam her. Li Lang Lee is a hell of a fighter. China's got some things to work with to make themselves a player on the national stage. And congratulations to them having their first UFC champion. The OG of mixed martial arts finally has an MMA champion of the UFC. And it happens to be a female. So that's a double thumbs up right there. I appreciate it. It was great. I want to say rest in peace to Mr. Franco Colombo. Franco Colombo, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Serge Obrett, Lou Ferrigno were like my first superheroes as a child. I can't imagine the amount of men and young boys that they motivated to start a fitness program in their life. And for that, they're legends and icons forever. Because we've seen these huge, super huge bodies, muscles and arms and legs like we've never seen before, because this was the super popularity of it after your Steve Reeves days, you know. And then they came out with Pumping Iron. We got to meet them behind the closed doors, and it became a phenomenon that exists to today. Men are still trying to reach those proportions and go past those proportions. And I just hope that Franco rests in peace. He gave a lot of people a lot of joy, not even maybe in a personal type manner, but just to look at him, because he was a phenomenal physique. And he used to be on all these shows in the 70s and 80s, like, that's incredible. I remember he used to blow up those hot water balloons with his mouth and make them explode. And as a kid, that was fascinating to me. So we had a triple murderer, this Matthew Thomas Bernard. He kills this minor league baseball player's wife, child, and I guess his mother. This is brutal. This is sad. This dude got to run around after committing these murders, and he had this Elmer Fudd cop chase him, who had an automatic weapon, a taser, mace, and he could not stop him. He could not stop this guy to the point where this dude almost ran a mini marathon butt naked and got to choke another person on his watch. I'm hoping that that patrol officer, whoever he may be, sheriff, deputy, whatever the fuck he is, that he is forced to put in his retirement papers, because he cannot protect and serve anymore. His best days are over. And I hope that the law throws the full book at Matthew Thomas Bernard for what he did. To be able to slaughter a child is about as low as it goes. We are talking the most innocent of innocents, the most innocent of innocent. A 17-month-old is a pain in the ass. It cries, it shits, it piss, it can't speak, but it doesn't harm or hurt anybody. It does not have the ability. That he was so far gone in his mind that he could not spare a toddler. I can't even fathom that kind of thing. Okay, so the NFL kicks off this week, people. And the first game we're going to have is Thursday Night Football. It's going to be the Chicago Bears versus the Green Bay Packers. Everybody's so deep up Aaron Rodgers' ass. You can't watch a sports show without everybody proclaiming that he walks on water and he shits diamonds. I am not a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. I take him for what he is. He's a phenomenal football player, but he's also only won one Super Bowl. I don't call him the GOAT. I don't call him the boat. I call him Aaron Rodgers. I don't consider him to be that bad man. He didn't even make the playoffs last year. I'm predicting that Chicago Bears should win this game due to defense. I don't really know a lot of players on Green Bay Packers. I don't know who they are rocking with. So we will see. But I am excited that the NFL season restarts. I had enough of preseason. I had enough of training camp. I can't wait to watch the last episode of Hard Knocks and then move on from all things preseason and get into the regular season. Matter of fact, next week we're going to have a special kickoff, the NFL Week 1 show. And once again, this is Strange Talk with Doc. I am Doc. You can look me up on Google. I would prefer that if you listen to the show, that you would listen to the show on two places, iTunes or Talk Shoe. Shoe, like the thing you put on your foot, S-H-O-E. But you can look me up on Google. And on Google, you will find where I'm located, my Instagram, my Twitter feed, my Facebook. Shout me out. Say hello. Suggestions are welcome. If you would like to be a guest and call in, TalkShoe is the place to do it. I'm live every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I would love to hear from you. I would appreciate hearing from you, negative or positive. You can call in and just say, fuck you, if that's what you feel. I don't care. It does not rock me one way or another, but I prefer to have a pleasant conversation with you, a good debate about something with you. Okay, so TV. I finished off Mindhunters, which was on Netflix. Season 2 was pretty damn good. I really enjoyed Season 2. It was a good wrap-up to the show. I'm looking forward to Season 3. I don't know who they're going to deal with in the serial killer world, but I like the way the show is going. I thought them adding in the stuff with the FBI agent's son didn't make sense. It just muddled the waters. It wasn't a real, it's not right based on reality anyway, so I didn't think they needed to add anything to a show that was already compelling. But that's just my personal thoughts. I also seen a movie this week called Ma. M-A, Ma. Olivia Spencer. You might know her from Maids and a couple of other movies. She was playing a psychopath. It's nice to see a middle-aged black woman and the role of a psychopath. We do not get to see that much in the movies. So that made it interesting. The story wasn't great. The movie wasn't great. It was just something a little fresher. Because we don't, like I said, we don't usually get to see this type of thing. And so it was enjoyable. And she brought something to the character. The lady can definitely act. We all know that. She's proven that time and time again. Now, I was checking out some new music this week. Also, hold on. Before I get to it. Power kicked off again last Sunday. The first episode of Power was doo-doo. Let's be honest. It was doo-doo. Second episode is released today. I'm hoping for bigger and better things. I did not think that the show was well-produced, well-written. It was too much shit thrown into one episode. It's like everybody wants to do Game of Thrones where you have like 9 million things going on at one time. And you see what shit sticks to the wall. And it was, you know, you got Power. One of the most compelling characters on Power is Dre. Dre, nowhere to be seen, episode 1. We watch Power just as much right now for the backstory of Dre than we do of what's going on with Tommy and Ghost. So hopefully episode 2 is much more heavy Dre-driven than what it was in episode 1, which was Son-driven. It was Tommy and Ghost, and their relationship is so schizophrenic. They're frenemies, best of frenemies. So it's kind of weird. You know, it's a very weird thing. Now, I did listen to some music this week, and I'm going to give my song a big thumbs up. This dude comes through, man. He did this show. He did this freestyle called Bars on I-95. I guess that's a hip-hop show. You can catch it on YouTube. Just put in my song, Bars, I-95. Very good. Not a very long song, but it was very, very good. Now, I did listen to a bunch of new music that was dropped this week, and this is where I get the thumbs down. Missy Elliott's Iconogy. I could not find one song on the whole CD that I liked. The beats were shit. It didn't sound like that happy-go-lucky Missy music that we're used to. Sure, she put out a great video because Missy, part of her appeal is these visual videos like when Busta Rhymes was in his heyday, he made a hell of a video. Missy makes a hell of a video, but the songs have got a bang. I mean, the music stunk. Pusha T had a song with Lauryn Hill called Coming Home. Garbage. I don't like that jazzy R&B type hip hop. I just don't like it. I never liked it since the beginning of hip hop, and I don't like it now. And Nas also had a release called No Bad Energy. Horrible. One of the worst things that I've heard from Nas in like forever. Once again, no beat, too mellow, background singing bad. I'm not with it. I can't give it a thumbs up or actually tell you in good conscience to go check those out. I went to a thing last week here in Raleigh, North Carolina called Carib Mass. It's their version of a little Labor Day parade, and it's held on Saturday in August. And I'm going to say it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. I hadn't been around that many black people in one place in one time in a long time. And it was peaceful. The music was good. I didn't eat the food, but from what everybody was saying, the food is good. I'm not an outdoor eater. So I'm not the type of person to sit out on some park bench and eat food. That's just not me. I like to open my belt and sit on my ass and have a TV in front of me. That's my preference, but that's just me. But if you're ever in North Carolina and you're looking for something to do and you are in town in August, check out Carib Mass. I did not even see as much as an argument. And we were there for hours. Only downer was, and it has nothing to do with them, it has nothing to do with anybody. We left because it rained for the fourth time. We survived the first three rains, but the fourth rain, it was like, you know what? It's time to go. But like I said, me and my wife thoroughly enjoyed it. I've actually been to the Facebook site to give them thumbs up and say that I appreciated the good time that we had. It was one love. Truly, it was a one love event with tons of black people dancing, laughing, enjoying themselves, enjoying their families, kids throwing balls, getting painted up. I mean, beautiful thing, beautiful thing. Now, New York is going to have their huge Labor Day parade. The Caribbean American Day parade is tomorrow, Labor Day, New York City. This is a fandango, people. If you've never experienced it and you're in New York and you want to see a lot of big, fat, black asses and stuff like that, that's your place to be. Now, I've only went one time in my entire life. I did not enjoy the experience. The crowd was a little too much for me. Not that I'm anti-crowds, because I've been to every Yankee World Series parade. I've been to Giants parades. I've been to the Vietnam parade. I've been to the Astronauts parade. I've even went to see the Mets parade when they won the World Series in 86. So I've been to quite a few huge parades. Now, the Yankee parade, that's for me. I love it. But Labor Day parade is just too crowded on Eastern Parkway. And the day that I went, there was three homicides. So it wasn't my favorite. I couldn't get back home for hours. I tried to get home, but because of the nonsense that was going on, they pushed us towards Prospect Park, and at the time I'm living in Bed-Stuy, and that's a pretty decent walk from Prospect Park to Bed-Stuy. But I'm hoping for peace, love, and joy in New York City. I hope that they have fantastic weather and everybody has a good time. I hope the vendors make money. I hope people wave and jump and represent their countries. I hope America's also represented well in this parade, because it is taking place on American soil. So Andrew Luck retired this week, huh, people? I don't know why everybody's got feeling sideways about it. Andrew Luck's a grown-ass man last time I looked. He's made money. He's done some things. Is he a Hall of Famer from what he accomplished? No. But did he become a bum or a bust? No. He played behind some horrible offensive lines. He took a lot of hits over the course of his career, but he was a tough bastard who played. He came back. He finished off well last year. He just can't seem to get away from the injury bug. And I wish Andrew Luck nothing but the very best in his future endeavors. He's a smart man. He went to Stanford. As far as I know, he got his degree, architecture. He can go on to do anything he wants. He could finance his own business. We don't have to worry about Andrew Luck. I hope that we've seen the last of Andrew Luck, that he doesn't get to kind of bug in his ass and feel that he's obligated to come back to the NFL. Go on with your life. You just got married, had some kids. You don't have to have medications in your system. You don't have to put those future children at risk because your body's full of these medications. And if you do the history, you see that a lot of NFL players' children suffer from all kinds of crazy-ass illnesses. And it's usually probably because their parents are being shot up with all kinds of drugs so that they can continue to play that game, that not only they get paid well to do, but that they also love. So an ex-NFL defensive lineman, Ryan Russell, he came out as bisexual this week. He's currently not on anybody's roster, but he played for the Cowboys, and he also played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm hoping that if this young man has the skill set to be an NFL player, that some team would invite them to his camp. I mean, I hope that his sexuality is not a roadblock or speed bump in a man playing a game. If he can help a team win, that should be the only thing that matters. If he is in a legal relationship with other adults, who he sleeps with in 2019 has to become a mute point. It has, that shit has got to end. We can no longer care. We can't put our religious beliefs on other people. We can't do that. And if you're going to do that, you better be the most pious person of your religion that there is, because you better not be able to throw stones at a glass house and they bouncing back and hitting you in the face, because the people who thump the biggest Bibles have proven over and over and over again that they are the biggest hypocrites. Okay, so Jay-Z and the NFL people. Jay-Z, NFL. So, hello, who called?
Good morning, this is Bones.
Hey, Bones, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much, man, nothing much. Chilling.
Okay, well, I'm getting ready to talk about Jay-Z and this NFL deal he has.
Okay.
I had trepidations from day one, because Jay-Z really disturbed me with one quote, that we are past kneeling. How does he tell a poor man who has nothing else but his knees that's not good enough anymore? See, everybody's not like Jay-Z and Beyonce, who could pick up a phone and get Obama on the other line. Everybody's not like Jay-Z and Kanye, who can get a sitting president on the phone, or congressmen and senators, people who want to know them. You're shitting on the whole civil rights movement by saying we're beyond kneeling. Protests are protests. Union people, how do they get their money? They don't shoot up the place. They stand outside with picket signs. That's a form of kneeling. It's a form of protest. What else are they supposed to do to get anything to change? And before I let you even say anything, Bones, I got to say this. The gun is pointed in the wrong direction. For the NFL, Jay-Z, and anybody to think that the powers that be is NFL owners is ridiculous. The powers that be are in the Senate. They are in the House of Representatives. They are not the 32 owners. They make no legislation. I say this over and over again, and I don't know why people can't understand. That's the simplest thing. What do you think about this Jay-Z NFL deal?
Well, that too, when they said about the NFL and Jay-Z have no legislative power. It's coming from, like you said, senators and congressmen and things like that. So, and this almost like we're not defending the NFL, but when you're talking about police brutality and injustice, what does the NFL have to do with that? They don't have anything to do with that. Colin Kaepernick, when he started the protest, was to bring attention to that plight, you know, and it, you know, it's on a worldwide, you know, stage. And you know, with Jay-Z, it's just almost like you hope that it's good, but you know, in my heart of hearts, I can't really, you know, put my finger on it and say, yeah, he's on the up and up, because you know, you've already made certain business deals beyond it, you know, from being the music person, you're selling t-shirts, you're selling this. It's almost like you're just being a straight capitalist. Because who's going to benefit from this? He's benefiting from it. Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job. The regular person still is going to get beat upside their damn head, you know, if they encounter the police or have some other, you know, atrocity or injustice done in the world. So I think it was like Malcolm said, it almost seems like what Malcolm said, you know, you get that Negro to validate, you know, you know, the oppressor. And then it's like, yeah, we good, you know, we're all good and we'll forget about it. And that's what it seems like to me at this point right now. Cause like, all right, we're beyond kneeling. Where do we go from here? Yeah, where do we go from here? You know what I mean? I still see it as a stalemate because injustice is still going to occur, still racial disparity, still police brutality, and that's the way I see it.
Like I asked you, well, like I said before, is that you, June?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm not doing anything yet.
Okay, hold on a second. You were a union employee, right, Bones?
Yes, I was, yep.
Okay. Y'all threatened to strike, I'm sure, over the course of your career, at least once or twice, right?
Yeah, because that's the only recourse that you have is to strike, shut it down, because the owners, they're not looking at you saying we're partners and, hey, you did a great job and I'm going to give you a raise and increase your benefits and things like that. They're trying to take away the benefits. So your only recourse is to strike. All right, do that. We out. We striking, you know.
Okay, and like I said, y'all didn't take baseball bats and drag people and burn them in the street. You peacefully struck.
Right.
Protested.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Now,
American way, which is from the onset of unions in America, not just in America, across the world, that's the you know, were formed because you needed an entity to combat management, you know, for just exploiting you and exploitation of labor.
Mm. Okay, Mr. June, you, Jay-Z, NFL.
Okay, so what are you just talking about the union?
Hold on, you got to fix your phone. I don't want to miss what you're going to say when your phone is messed up.
You can't hear me?
What are you doing? Walking? Driving?
I'm not doing anything.
Okay, well, speak up. You got it. I can hear you.
All right, so with the union, right, first of all, that's a contract agreement with the employer, right? But unlike with police brutality, there's no agreement between the police department and the community, right? So one is an authority over the other one. And so you don't have the protest power, because when you're protesting against, you know, an authority without an agreement, they don't have to give in to your demands or whatever the case is. Like with a union, you protest and they need you, right? So, you know, the employer needs you as the worker. So then you have, you know, like a agreement. You know, you have power rebuttal power over the because of the agreement you have. So
but,
at one point, at some point, they still need you to work for them, you know.
But let's not forget, the law needs people to comply with the law, and laws have been changed in this country. Think about it. Lynching was legal. And when people started protesting lynching, then it became illegal. So they're not above the law. They just have to change the law. Now, that's not really the point here. The point is, what do you think about Jay-Z's deal with the NFL?
I just think Jay-Z's deal with the NFL is business, right? And he thinks he's using the excuse of being a part of the business that he can do things from the inside towards, like, social justice awareness or whatever the case. They can't change anything because there's no direct link between the NFL and justice laws, right? So, to me anyway, the protesting hurts the NFL players more than it helps.
But the protest,
because you don't want to turn the fans against the product, you know what I'm saying? Because the NFL players need to, you know, they still need to be employed and work and perform and stuff like that. So, and it's not the NFL that is at the core of the injustice that is being protested about. So it's like a thin line where you can bring awareness, but not at the point of hurting, you know, your
that product didn't get hurt one drop.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that narrative that product got hurt. I seen the same amount of freaking commercials. I seen the same Super Bowl hype. I seen everything. I mean, the NFL has let's put this in perspective, guys, a $21 billion, $21 billion television contract. Not
right, but
a dollar. Not a dollar of that went away. Not
all right,
a
so
dollar.
All right, now let me tell you this. Okay, so since I'm in sports groups, right, I hear from the fan bases, right, the people in the sports group, they destroy the players verbally, you know.
So
a lot of them say they're not going to watch football no more because they don't want to see players kneeling and stuff like that.
Let me
so,
ask you a question. Just ask them this. When is the last time a freaking NFL player kneeled? I mean, that's bogus. That's a bogus argument that they got. Think about this. It's who they decide not to kneel. Marshawn Lynch sat on his ass, and his name has never been mentioned once. Think about that.
Nope.
Marshawn
nope.
sat down while the national anthem was playing. Not Trump, not Goodell, not the Seahawks owner. Or the NFL. Matter of fact, the other players haven't even mentioned Marshawn Lynch. Because Marshawn Lynch is going like this. I don't give a fuck what y'all feel. I'm sitting down. Listen, when Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks did what they did, the person who starts the protest always know that they're going to be collateral damage. Colin Kaepernick knew from day one he was done. But that's the sacrifice he was willing to make. Now, I'm not saying that Colin, I don't even think, we don't know what, see, here's the mystery. We don't know what Colin feels because he don't talk. The man has lost his tongue. But I do know this. Colin Kaepernick said, I'll be in the forefront of whatever. If you're going to bring attention, you think that everybody's going to be happy to work with Meek Mill because he says that he wants to be for prison reform? No. There's going to be places that's going to tell Meek Mill, get the fuck out of here. We don't want your business. I guarantee you won't be doing no Pepsi commercials.
Okay, so about the Jay-Z thing, right? What about with Colin Kaepernick? Is the NFL obligated
to hire him, and why?
Okay, well, see, here's the thing. I never mentioned Colin because Colin is of no consequence after he did what he did. No, nobody is obligated to hire anybody. This right. is not what it's about, Colin getting a job. This is about Saquon. This is about LaShawn. And this is about Daquan. This is about Phillip and Leon let's say Rakim not getting fucking shot while they sitting in their car in front of their children. That's who this is about. I don't care. Colin Kaepernick is a multimillionaire. He's fine. He is okay. fine.
Okay, so if it's about them not getting shot, how does that, what does that have to do with the NFL?
It's who put the attention. Let me ask you a question. Okay, you had people like Common making a song here or there. But who right. in Hollywood or who on television was putting any attention towards what was going on? I give this one show. I don't even watch it anymore. They did a whole show about it. It's the best episode they ever did. Blackish dedicated a whole show to what was going on in the world today. And matter of fact, every member of that cast cried in that fucking show. It that was powerful. But who else is bringing any attention? It's like, you know what? It ain't my son. I don't scream into it's my son. So Colin said, you know what? It don't have to be my son. I need somebody to just look. Think about the audience the NFL has. Then the NBA players glommed off of it. Nobody gave them grief. Matter of fact, when they came up at the ESPN Awards, it was Melo, Wade, LeBron.
Yeah.
That was received with a lot of love. A lot of love. Well, they did it at the All-Star game, one or the other. It was received with love. And you know what? This somebody in this country has to focus on. We are close, pretty close to a bad situation for young black males in America, where we at a tipping point for a war we cannot win because we're not armed like they are. They out-arm us and they outnumber us. Like greatly, and they are ready while we're sitting around bullshitting, going to the mall and worried about fucking chicken sandwiches and Popeyes, and the motherfuckers are at the ranges learning military tactics. I know because I see when I go to a range, 98% of the people at the range are them. The 2% is us. And that is every single time I go. I don't see us at the range, but I see us posting shit every day about Popeyes and Chick-fil-A. That's what we are concerned with. They're concerned with battling.
Right. And yeah. They really truly believe a certain segment that the war is launched upon them, which is crazy. You know, I got a neighbor, his mail happened to be in my mailbox. He's an NRA member. I don't care if anybody's an NRA member, but on the front of the envelope, it had a whole lot of Democratic candidates, about 10 of them, and they said, if they win, you lose. And they're promoting fear amongst the white man, some white men. And they're promoting fear. Whether they, even when Obama was elected, they just kept talking about they're taking your guns away, they're taking your guns away. Well, no one's taking the Second Amendment away. But, you know, you create that narrative, fear, 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 fear. And these guys really, truly, they believe it. It's unbelievable. They believe it.
Bones, I tell you now. Nobody has knocked on my door and asked me back for anything. So right. I'm going to agree with you there. Nobody, and my shit is registered. It's on the records, what I own. They know what I have in my home. And I've never had a sheriff say, we need to retrieve these back from you, sir. No. So that's fake. You know what? I watched a comedy special. It had a lot of controversial shit in it. But if you want to laugh, and it's hilarious as hell, Dave Chappelle did this Sticks and Stones, right?
Yes.
And he talked about how to curb gun violence in America, how to stop the flow of guns in America. He said if every able-bodied black man who could would sign up for a gun license, I bet you restrictions on guns would start immediately. The very next day, if they found out 10 million black people tried to just put in an application, cost you $10 to put in an application. Shit here is $5 to get a permit. $5. If every black person in North Carolina did that, and they would start looking at some of these names and be like, LaDonna Donadino put in for an application. There's no Robins or Johns or Earls on this list. Then in a month, then legislators would say, you know what, we got to do something about the legislation of firearms. But, you know, we are where we are. Our focus is where it is. Their focus is somewhere else. Their agenda is fucked up because it's confused. But they got this guy sitting in Washington who's a grand wizard, where people are scared to call him a grand wizard. He promotes fear. He promotes division. He promotes shit. The only thing he hasn't just came straight out and said was, will you help me eliminate these mother effers? That's the only thing he hasn't said. I mean, come on. This dude just said, let's bomb the fucking hurricane. And they lied about it. Let's nuke the hurricane.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now, I'm going to get back to this. June, I understand capitalism. I understand it well. And if Jay-Z, the businessman, would have spoke and said, I'm getting into business with the NFL to do business with the NFL, I have no problem with that. My problem is saying that I'm taking over this initiative. I'm taking over this. Now, think about this. It's been over a week and a half now since this deal is broke. We hear about capitalism, product lines, and concerts before we hear of any game plan on how he's supposed to be tackling this. Let's not forget, him and Beyonce are two of the most famous people on this entire planet. You could put their names up against anybody. There's nobody they can't get an offense with. I guarantee you, if they wanted to sit down and talk to Putin, they could talk to Putin. I ain't heard him talk about, I'm going to sit down and speak to Congress. I'm going to sit down and speak to the representatives of the state I'm living in, probably California now. I haven't heard that. But I tell you one thing, I went to paperplanes.com yesterday, which is the place that has his hat and clothes, and they got a brand new clothing line instantly. Like that. And we already been announced that next Sunday, Thursday night, Meek Mill is going to be performing at some shitty Welcome to the NFL show. That we get. But every organization, I don't care who it is, it could be the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Muslims, Five Percenters, you name them. Every organization has what they call a 5-point, 10-point, 15-point plan.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like, and how the hell does it take a man as smart as him with the biggest business acumen he has? Over a week, we ain't heard plan one, not even the first number one of his game plan.
But I don't think you would hear it. I think
why
would
we hear it? We're the general public. Who is he supposed to tell it to? The dude on the moon?
No, I don't think he has to. See, the thing is, why does he have to tell a plan? You know, why does he have to say a plan in the first place?
Did you just hear what I said? Everybody,
I know what you just said, but
everybody, every organization on this planet, from Amazon to Apple to the damn bagel shop on your corner, has a 10-point plan. This is how they do business. I didn't say his personal life. If you're saying that I am taking over an initiative, No, he didn't mind sitting there with Goodell and doing that damn press conference, but to have no... Listen, you could still go back today and read the Black Panthers 10 points. You know the Boy Scouts points. They have a, oh, we're going to be honorable, we're going to be this, we're going to be that, we're going to be this. What is his? The first thing that he comes out with is a product line. So that lets you know that he doesn't give a damn about social injustice. Matter of fact, his boy Meek Mill is doing more for reform. At least he meets with people. At least he sits down with people in power, congressmen and senators. No, he owes the general public that. Jay-Z is not above anybody. And I'm tired of the narrative that Jay-Z is above other Black people. That shit's been going on a little too long. He doesn't represent all Black people. He don't represent me, I tell you that. Jay-Z has never fed me or anybody I know. So I owe Jay-Z nothing. When he makes a good song, I pay for it. So it's fair exchange, no robbery. He doesn't rob me, I don't rob him. But Basquiat Jr. Does not represent me, no more than an Al Sharpton or a Louis Farrakhan. I'm an independent Black man. I don't need them to get my point across.
Yeah. Okay, so take like Al Sharpton and these guys. I mean, even Obama, like, okay, if they couldn't do this, we're making Jay-Z, we're saying that Jay-Z should be able to do more than those guys.
Who said that?
That's the way, to me, that's what it sounds like.
But I have yet to hear anybody say that. I don't know what circles you're running in, June, but I have yet to hear. This is also a man with no power. He has a lot of money, but he has no position in life other than that people idolize him. That does not give you true power. Jay-Z has no power. If we decided we hated him tomorrow, he would lose even that. He would even lose that status. He has zero. He has money. He has his family, he has money, but he has no power. He cannot change anything. He can't change a speed law.
This is true, but the people that criticize him, you know, on the whole, they criticize him without considering that. They're criticizing him as if he does have that power that he doesn't have.
How did you miss?
That's what I'm saying.
How did you miss in this? That he pretended to have power in this instance. See, that was the thing is, he bold-faced lied to the general public while sitting there with the same guy that, let's not forget, this time last year, he picketed this very same NFL. Don't forget, he was supposed to be the halftime show last year. He was supposed to be the I am not doing it. And matter of fact, if anybody else do it, they kind of sell it out. And the next thing we know, he's in business with them. The very same guy. Nobody put these words in his mouth. He did this. You know, he did this. He said this. Like I said, if this was strictly business, I say go get your money. But don't tell the poor man. Nobody has the right to tell the poor man of this world that the only thing that he has left is his voice, that he should be quiet. And if you tell him to be quiet, you better give him an alternative to his silence. And I'm not putting words in this man's mouth. Go back and read the quote. We are beyond kneeling. So what is the next step? If you don't have a next step, then how are you going to tell us what to do? Okay.
Right. Even when they say we're going to sit at the table.
I think he's just saying we're beyond kneeling because.
Because of what?
The kneeling is not going to do it. I mean, like, they're asking him. He said that we're beyond kneeling because they were trying to link him going to the NFL. Joining the NFL business-wise with Kaepernick.
But stop talking forget other people. June, I'm talking directly to you. Forget what they say. Here's the deal. We live in a world of tricknology. Everybody's trying to trick you. Forget their agenda. Tell me what you hear. I don't care about what the polls say. I don't care about what no news group. I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking directly to you, what you and your intelligence hears. Fuck them. Fuck the opinion of the general public. When you eat tonight, the general public is not making your dinner. When you pay your rent, the general public is not signing that check. Forget them. They have no cost. There's a problem. We put too much stock in what the world says. Forget the world. We got our own souls to protect. I'm not backing no bullshit. Like I said, a Jay-Z businessman, I got no problem with Jay-Z businessman. The man, I would love to be able to sit down for 5 minutes, just a minute of his time for him to teach me something. I could learn a lot in 2 minutes from him. But don't tell a... Listen, what is an alternative? That's why I brought up the union. What do they do? You can equate kneeling to protesting. A picket sign is a form of kneeling. It's just a protest. How you protest is one way or another. He basically said no time for protest. So what's the next step if we don't have protests? And that's what I'm calling them on. Only. That's the only thing I'm calling them on. So don't think that I'm saying anything else. Now, I said that like 10 times. The only thing I'm calling Jay-Z on is him telling people that protest, and you want to know something? It's bullshit that protests don't work. Because if protests didn't work, your ass wouldn't be working where you were. Bones wouldn't have been working where he was. You wouldn't even be collecting the paycheck that you're getting today. Protest works.
And by Colin Kaepernick not saying any, by Colin Kaepernick not saying anything and not having a tongue, no, the narrative has shifted. So someone like Jay-Z can step right on in, who's powerful in regards to money, can step in, and now you control the narrative. You know what the thing was about. Because again, as you said, he got money, but he don't have that power. And you're not going to change any laws because you're not talking to Congress. You're not having no Senate hearings. So really, outside of that, it's just like you just got a job. You got it. You made it.
And protesting works. It depends on who's protesting and what you're protesting for. Like, because racism hasn't changed, and protests can't do anything about that.
But you can't protest a person's feelings. Okay. We understand that. I can sit outside every day and protest against God. It won't stop people from loving God. But if there was a law on the books that held other people down, think about it. Civil rights only change if we didn't put it. This is simple, June. Did we go to war in America to get our civil rights? June.
Yeah, we didn't go to war. America went to war. Yeah.
What war was this?
With the British.
The Civil War was between the North and the South, but.
No. I mean, you're not hearing me.
The British.
Who the fuck cares about the British and the American? Civil rights only pertain to us. So I don't know what else you're hearing. I said, did we, black people in America, have a war in this country to get civil rights? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, then. How did we get civil rights?
Civil rights was given to people who would benefit from us having the civil rights.
No. What are you doing to me right now? How did we get
that? Okay, because
a simple question. First
of all, the slavery part. That was done.
Let's forget the slavery. I said civil rights.
You can't forget the slavery. You can't forget the slavery because it's part of it. That's what I'm saying. The process was, the benefit of it was to benefit, they needed,
black people to be able to fight in the wars, and you couldn't fight in the war as a slave.
There was no civil rights during the Civil War, because Reconstruction came right after that, and with Reconstruction came Jim Crow. So forget about that. That's why I'm saying forget that. I said civil rights. The right, you know, the right to go and vote. The right to be able to eat in a fucking restaurant. The right to not have to piss in a place that says blacks only. Basic human rights. How did we get those if we didn't go to war?
Through protests.
Thank you. We ran all the way around the circle just to get back.
All right,
that's
we went through protests.
We did. That's all we did. We picketed and we protest. We did not kill white people in masses. We did not take over state capitals. We did not bomb. We did not do terrorist acts. We protested. And for the most part, we peacefully protest. And we got civil rights. So don't tell me protests don't work. Apartheid, the black people in South Africa did not go to war with the Afrikaners. They protested and got civil rights. The islands that you'll be celebrating tomorrow, Jamaica, Trinidad, other than Haiti, they're the only ones who literally went to war against their oppressor. Everybody else protested to be free. So protest works.
It works to a certain extent, though. We have civil rights, but civil rights for what? That's what I'm saying.
What are you
talking
about?
We still financially.
The life that you live today, your great-grandfather couldn't even imagine you having. Couldn't even imagine. Do you know we're only the second free generation? It takes time. We're only the second free generation. My mother and father wasn't totally free when they were born. They had every kind of restrictions known to man. There were schools that they could not go to. There was restaurants they could not eat. There was hotels that they couldn't. I mean, they had, my father wouldn't have been no 90-year-old man. My father would have only been in his early 70s. But if he would have been told to get up for a white person, he would have had to do it. So I can't even imagine what his father went through. Me, I was free to go to any fucking college I wanted. I was free to work anywhere I wanted. I can own whatever I want. We can't change people's minds. You can't legislate minds. You can legislate laws. I guarantee you, Bones would not have been doing the job that he did and taking care of his family and having that fucking pool and all that shit he got to shovel in the winter if this was 1942. He would not. The ones that wanted to be left behind were left behind. I don't use excuses. I'm past excuses. Anybody that said we pass excuses, I'm with you on that.
I still think you got to have somebody in law, though, in the law positions that believe, that see the benefit of changing the law.
But you can't change people's minds. You can that we can't we can't legislate that. If a hillbilly wants to hate you because he hates you, you can have every law in the book. As long as he don't touch you, think about it. Back in the old days, man, Emmett Till died because he looked at a white woman. He looked at her. They were hanging black men in the street for looking at white women's feet. Not even her ass, her feet. Now brothers will jump over 52 black girls to get to a fat, ugly white woman with 5 babies. We've come a long way, my friend. We can't take that away. We've come a long way. This is only, if you got to do the math, it's only the second generation. Think about it. If you're my age, you were born the year before the Civil Rights Bill was signed. The year before. So
yep.
you the 70s was still rough because they wasn't even coming to terms with what they did. You know, like, okay, here's a picture. Tell me if anybody in your family had this dream. John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Jesus Christ on the wall. Anybody in your family had that? Those three.
Bones? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Grandmother had it in her house. My grandmother had it in her house. Yep. And my old relatives.
What about you, June?
Yeah, my mother had it in hers.
Okay. And you want to know what's silly about that? We didn't even vote for Kennedy because we didn't have the right to vote. We didn't have the right to vote. And Kennedy, for some reason, got thrown on black people's wall. And we didn't even vote for Kennedy. Kennedy got elected in 60 or 64. Civil Rights Act wasn't even signed to 65. So black people didn't even vote John F. Kennedy into office. But still, for some crazy reason, he was adopted. I grew up seeing that picture going, why the fuck is that white guy on the wall next to that pretty surfer dude? Oh, okay, the pretty surfer dude is Jesus. Okay, but who's that other fucker? The other fucker is a dude we didn't even vote in office, but he got placed on millions of black people's walls right next to a dude who really did something for us, King. But you couldn't convince those old people there that Kennedy wasn't down with us. No more than you can convince one of these guys today that either they're convinced of two things. Everything is beautiful. They should be happy. Or, you know, fuck them. And they're always going to go like this. You know what? Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all for life. We can't do anything about that. We can't do anything about how a person thinks. You can't change. You can't vote a homophobe's mind out of office. You can vote his actions out. You could say that this job can't openly discriminate against gays, but you can't tell that guy he can't hate gays. There's a difference. You know, it's a big, huge difference. But like I said, I got no problem with Jay, the businessman. If you got a problem with Jay-Z, the businessman, to go from Mossy Projects, nothing, selling crack, to becoming one of the world's most famous and damn near billionaire, then I don't know what your issue is. But I could have a problem with a lot of the other shit that surrounds him. I could have a problem with his occult-like behavior. I could have a problem with the crack dealing. I could have a problem with him calling himself Jehovah. And I have problems with those things. But it don't change nobody else's mind. It's just how I feel. I'm not going to get a bullhorn and stand out on Atlantic Avenue and start screaming that shit. No, I'm not going to do that. If somebody wants to call him their God, so be it. But I ain't calling nobody Jehovah that's walking and breathing like I am. I don't have it in me. You know, I'd rather call them lips. That I know is true. You know? So let me ask you guys a question. Have they captured these guys who did this robbery in New York yet? Because it's hard to get information down here about that.
Not yet. They claim they have two suspects, but they haven't released any information else regarding that. I mean, I think that the act itself was unbelievable. You know, it was brazen. You know, it was the element of surprise. But I just don't get unless they're just totally not in the database, how are you just going to just go on the camera without no disguise? Just, I'm here.
Those dudes took basically selfies. Not just that, Bones. If you look at the video, just look at their hands. They touched every anything. I mean, they did everything a criminal is not supposed to do. They touched the chair. Yeah. They touched the wall. This full, full palm print. I mean, it was amazing.
And I had,
the pictures couldn't be
clearer. Yeah, and they allegedly got away with $4 million. And I was telling my wife, I said, you have to have a fence. When you do that, you got to have a fence. You got to move the product quickly. You can't take that and go into Bed-Stuy, East New York, and start selling that stuff. You already got to have that in place. We're going to do this, and boom, you see, that stuff is moving, you know, out of the country somewhere.
Yeah. You know what? I am not with no kind of crime, but I do believe that if you are going to commit a crime, you go for life changing, not penny ante.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
At least they went for what I call the gusto, because robbing an old lady for her EBT card is petty shit. You dealt with enough of those. You know what? I'd rather a Bernie Madoff who's trying to take the world. At least he's trying to change his life. $4 million is going to change your life.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
$1.2 million is going to change your life. Yeah. But, you know, I'm going to stab, shoot, and beat a lady to death for $2.22. What'd I get? 3 bags of Uggs for that? There's no change of life.
Or if you did it with three people, what are we going to do with that?
Well, I guess we get a bag of Pringles.
Yeah.
You know, a big bag of chips. You can't even buy a good 40-ounce beer to split between three guys. So, you know, it's, you know what? They were quite interesting. That's some bold. They were very bold. I don't want to be put in that position. I don't want somebody that has a jump on me with a fully loaded weapon while I'm laying on the ground. I will say that. That's pretty scary shit. And in this day and age, that could happen while you just at a movie theater or driving your car coming from the mall, you know?
Yeah.
Now, before I get out of here, I just wanted to say this, and I'm tired of us doing this one. There was a guy in Oklahoma on the news. White woman tells him while they looking at some zoo pictures that the gorilla looked like him. The black guy pauses for a while. He don't get angry, and he says, yeah, it does. Actually, yes, it does. Why do we go out of our way to make excuses for racist behavior? We got to stop that. We got to call people out on their bullshit. I wish we would do that. I wish we were stronger.
Right. Yeah, you have to have definitely a strong constitution and strong sense of yourself to realize the magnitude of what's going on and then call it, you know, like, come on. And then you go back on the air and, oh, she's one of my best friends, bullshit. Like, come on. You went home and got reamed by your family. And then you your moment, all right, even at the time of coming back, they say, nah, you know, you stunned me or whatever. You know, unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I would have, you know what? I would have called the, I was thinking about something I posted. It made me think about something I posted this week on my Facebook, right? I don't stay angry at people for very long because usually whatever situation that I'm in, I confront right then and there. I don't let it stew. So there's no reason for you to think I'm mad at you. I'm going to let you know instantly I'm mad at you. And I want you to let me know that you're mad at me instantly. This way there's no back and forth. We get the shit squashed instantly. And I guess that's why I've had 23 years of good marriage, because me and my wife don't stew over stuff. She'll come right at me like fucking Mike Tyson, and I'll come at her like a hurricane, and we get it over with. And 6 seconds later, we'd be like, okay, you feel better? Yeah, I feel better. Okay, and we move on. This way there's no shit that lasts through the night.
Yeah.
See, that's the way I deal with everybody in my life. It's just no need for me to be mad at you tomorrow when I could have confronted you today.
Right.
Our brain works. It's pretty, it's sharp sometimes. And when you attack me, I know I'm being attacked. So I'm ashamed of Jason Hackett. He handled that like a dude that paycheck meant more than his integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
cowardice. Very big cowardice.
And those type of workplace environments, do they be like somewhat like token blacks, you know?
Okay, what you doing with that phone? Okay. Stop playing with your phone. But I know tomorrow you go, well, you're off tomorrow. I know that if you went to work on Tuesday and one of your coworkers said that you look like Great Ape Kong, you're not going to just blow that shit off, I hope. You're going to confront them. Now, if it's one of your bros, see, it's different. We handle each other different. We can call each other all kinds of vile shit because we each other. But when an outsider does it, it's unacceptable.
Absolutely.
You know, it depends on who it's coming from the circle. If you don't get along too well with a guy, you don't want him calling you a whole bunch of MFs and stuff either. But if it's your boy and y'all sitting around and you're ranking, man, all bets are off. You see what the hell you want, you know?
Okay, now, so let me put this part in. I work for the city, right? And I'm in a union, right? And so if I have to complain about, you know, like say a person making a racial, it'll get handled right away, you know? And, you know, the person has to suffer the consequences, but it depends on what setting you know. Sometimes you can complain and then complain on who you're complaining to. And they might not do nothing about it. So you got those situations too.
June, life's a mother effer, but you understand. You just explained it thoroughly. There are rigmaroles and things that you have to go through. This is work, and I understand. I didn't want this guy to say, "Well, you filthy bitch." No, I'm not asking him to do that. But he could have said in an intelligent, think about it. He's got a brain. He could have told her very intelligently. You know, what you just said to me was so insulting. Can we go to break? It would have showed indignation. It would at least showed anger. We need to go to a break right now, if that's possible. Well, I need to get up and get a glass of water. Anything. Not... This dude literally paused and then said, basically, I agree with you. Do you think his mama was happy? Damn, my baby thinks he's a gorilla. You think his wife is happy?
Yeah.
Daddy admitted.
I got a good example of that, right? So Bill O'Reilly, right? He was interviewing this black guy, Hakeem Jeffries, somebody was interviewing, right? Or had him on the Fox segment, right? So he said, he told him, the black guy, said, say you're a drug dealer and you look like one. told him he looks like one, right? Then he said something, you know, so then the black guy said, well, suppose you're a drug buyer and you look like one, you know? And so, they were on air too on Fox, and they both, you know, he said something and he retaliated back in a subtle way, you know.
You know what? I got no problem with it. If they're gonna do a back and forth, it can be quite entertaining. Just don't sit there and take it. Don't sit there and take it. I mean, I was so mad Friday. I was watching First Take, and Stephen A. had two people come in and literally root against the only, well, three of the black girls in the U.S. Open, root against them. They didn't pick anybody else by name. Oh, I hope she loses. I hope this one. And I'm saying, Stephen A., you sitting there and you're saying, after you just interviewed this girl's parents, that this white woman just sits in your face and says she hopes this 15-year-old or 16-year-old girl loses. Who says something like that? We watch sports. We watch football. Those guys in the booth never actually say, I hope that team lose. They'll say, I think they'll lose. But they, oh, I'm hoping they lose. Who says that about a young girl trying to do her best? And he just accepted it and it's like, yeah, you're right. Then he goes, yeah, you're right. That might be good. When the hell did losing become good?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, guys, NFL kicks off next Sunday. So you know it's going to be NFL heavy next Sunday if you call in. And if you're doing Labor Day, June, be safe. Keep your head on a swivel. Do not relax. Act like you're in a heightened state anytime you're in massive crowds.
Yeah.
No, we're not allowed to sleep in crowds anymore. That ship has sailed. That many black people at one time, even though we know the NYPD is going to be out in mass, I mean like crazy mass, but they also have a union parade to deal with in Manhattan. But that's the type of situations that lunatics are looking for. You know?
Yeah.
But I hope it's beautiful. I hope the weather is nice. I hope that the type of asses that you like to see are on display. Because I will tell you now, I've been to one Labor Day. I did not enjoy my experience. I talked about that earlier. It was, it's like every fat chick who could get tight shorts was out, and I don't like fat. I don't want to see bellies, and I don't want to see asses that look like they can give you directions in the city. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to see it. That's not for me. If you look like you had four babies, I don't want to see your belly ever. But I hope it's a beautiful day. I hope we make ourselves proud to the world, because the world, when we gather like that, the world always watches us. I'm hoping for peace. You know, and I love to see Brooklyn shine. I love to see Brooklyn shine, because I just went to a Caribbean festival last week down here, and it was all love. I didn't even see an argument. I didn't even see anything that resembled a fight or an argument. Now, the crowd ain't even 100 for what New York's going to see tomorrow. I mean, if there was 30,000 people, that's a lot. But it was beautiful. It was so nice that next year I'm going again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess your wife really liked that.
My wife loved it. She got to hear a lot of her music.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I play some reggae in the car from time to time, but not a lot of soca. My wife's actually from Trinidad, not Jamaica.
Right.
I see down here, everybody thinks that if you're West Indian, you're only from Jamaica, like no other fucking island.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of islands. Where you from? From Jamaica? No, I'm not from Jamaica. My wife will straighten you out in a second. I'm from Trinidad, dumbass. You know, it's not all you white people are from North Dakota, right? Or England. So,
well, I gotta run, fellas. So enjoy. Enjoy your weekend.
Yes, I'm getting out of here too. June.
All right, peace out, June.
And debate this Jay-Z thing with me.
Yeah.
Are you going to the parade tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And before I get out of here, the next song that you post, you owe me for having to listen to that bullshit that I had to listen to this morning. I thought that was a good MC Shan, and that was some soft ass shit. Oh boy. You should have never had a rap career after that song.
Nah,
and
that
who was that
movie
guy singing? Huh? Who was the guy singing?
DJ Swan. He's just a guy that sings for him.
He's horrible. That dude was like, put it to you this way. He would make Ralph Tresvant seem like an OG gangster compared to him. I mean, it was just, damn, his voice was soft. Like he had something stuck up his ass and somebody was twisting it. I don't remember that song. It's horrible. But, you know, I like to have fun. That's why I bust your chops with that type of thing. It ain't no big deal.
I know.
Well, brother, man, I want you to go and enjoy your day. I'm going to get out of here. I want to eat, and I want to watch Power. You know Power? Do you watch Power?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I'll get around to it.
You mean ever?
Ever, yep.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's unique. Well, they stars actually puts the episodes, even though they don't come on till 9 o'clock at night on demand. They start at 12 o'clock in the morning. So I'm gonna watch that, eat lunch, and take it easy. So June, I'm getting out of here, and I'm gonna tell the people like I'm gonna tell you, peace to you and peace to yours. Enjoy the parade. Be safe. Have a lot of fun, my brother.
All right, peace.
Peace.